Track 2, Communication and Children's Responsibility. On the last track, we discussed shaping attentional styles. This included the sharing attention, recognizing the fear of failure, and acknowledging the obvious. Do you have a client whose child is deliberately defiant? Is the parent having difficulty enforcing authority through requests? How do you respond to this client? On this track, we will discuss communication and children's responsibility. This will include depersonalizing, discrediting elective behavior, and always giving 100% credit. As you listen, think of your client. What kind of advice do you give him or her? Janine, age 38, came to me about her daughter, Jocelyn, age 7. Janine stated, "I feel like Jocelyn is deliberately defiant. She's driving me crazy. Last week was horrible. I'm so afraid I'm going to physically abuse her. Some highlights include the birthday party I organized for her on Monday, and she whined and complained the entire time. She never finishes her homework on time, and I had to set a timer for her to get it done. And her parent-teacher conference was one of the most mortifying of my life. She told her teacher to bug off in my presence. What can I do about this? I don't want people to think that I can't effectively discipline my child, but if she isn't responding to my requests, I don't know what to do. I told Jocelyn it needs to change." I had noted Janine depersonalized a lot of her reprimands of Jocelyn by using the word "it." For example, she would globalize and say, "It needs to get better," or "Things need to improve around here." So, as you can see, we have two challenges here. Not only does Janine depersonalize her comments, but she is also nonspecific with them. Let's talk about Janine's depersonalizing use of the words "it" and "things." I stated to Janine, "A common challenge for parents is to depersonalize the behavior they wish to have changed by using nonspecific words such as it or things. By stating, 'It needs to get better,' instead of stating, 'Jocelyn, you need to do thus and so specifically,' you might make it much easier for Jocelyn not to recognize herself and her own specific actions regarding what you have described. Using someone's name is a great attention getter." Janine stated, "But I feel powerless to change or influence Jocelyn's behavior. That makes it all the more painful to talk about in specific terms. The more I talk about the specifics of what Jocelyn did or didn't do, the more powerless I feel." I replied, "Talking by using the word 'it' instead of being specific regarding what Jocelyn, for example, said to the teacher, may serve to soften the emotional blow or the personal embarrassment, but it most likely will not be an incentive for Jocelyn to change." Janine asked, "So what would be an incentive for Jocelyn to change?" I stated, "Be specific. Try to make it clear about the specific behavior you would like to have changed. You might say, 'Jocelyn, I felt angry and hurt when you threw a cup of punch on the floor because you didn't like the brand I bought.'" Janine seemed to be receptive to this information, so in addition to depersonalizing and being specific, I continued to state, "You've mentioned that you want Jocelyn to follow directions and do what she's told. You want to teach her to accept responsibility, however, it can be easy to discredit the positive actions Jocelyn takes by offhanded explanations. For example, if Jocelyn routinely refuses to do her homework, but finished it on time last week, did you give credit to Jocelyn when she finished her homework?" Janine stated, "Well, she got it done after I set a timer." I stated, "Yes, you did set a time, and that gives the timer credit for the homework being done, not Jocelyn. You may feel that no matter what, she cannot succeed." In addition to depersonalizing, being specific, and discrediting appropriate behavior, I decided to introduce the concept of giving 100% credit. Here's how I explain giving 100% credit to Jocelyn. I stated, "When Jocelyn does what you feel is the right thing, whatever it may be, try to give her 100% credit, even if what was done by accident. If you want the desired behavior to happen, try not to discredit it by explaining, justifying, or minimizing it." Think of a parent you are currently treating. Do they discredit appropriate behavior by explaining it away, perhaps justifying that it should have been done or minimizing the appropriate behavior? Would playing this track regarding giving 100% credit be beneficial during your next session? Janine asked, "What if she does what I ask, but it's not done exactly right?" I stated, "Even if it's not done exactly right, Give credit for the parts that are done correctly. Give Jocelyn every bit of positive reinforcement you can. Janine stated, "Well, I'll feel like a phony because it isn't exactly how I wanted it." I responded, "Yes, I agree. Part of you may feel that way. However, have you ever heard of the term a self-fulfilling prophecy?" Janine replied, "Yes, that's where if you think something is going to happen, it will happen." "Oh yes, now I see. If I always expect her to screw up and don't give her credit for the parts that she does correctly, she will continue to always screw up." Do you have a Janine whose child doesn't seem to respond to requests? Might he or she benefit from hearing this track? On this track, we have discussed communication and children's responsibility. This included depersonalizing, discrediting, elective behavior, and always giving 100% credit. On the next track, we will discuss equivocal statements. This will include common, indirect statements and using emotion as a communicator. Question 2. What three kinds of communication can affect how children perceive their own responsibility?